are going to celebrate today. For those of y'all who don't know, I'm Julie Richard, and I get to be married to Mac, and I am the founder of Fearless Mom, a ministry we have at our church. And our theme verse for our ministry is Proverbs 31:25. Proverbs 31:25 says, "She is clothed with strength and dignity, and she laughs." Everybody say, "She laughs." She laughs without fear of the future. We say she's clothed in leggings and a t-shirt, and she laughs without fear of a tantrum. She laughs without fear of a new driver. She laughs without fear of an overdrawn credit card. She laughs, you know what? And sometimes, moms, we laugh to keep from crying, right? We laugh to keep from crying. We have an exciting message today about celebrating. And so before we get started, let's pray. God, thank you so much for the gift of motherhood. Thank you, God, for the gift of your word, for the gift of church where we can gather and raise your name together, for the gift of family. God, right now I ask that you hover over all of those who have mixed feelings about today, whether they're struggling or grieving, and we ask that you give them an extra measure of your love. And God, we pray for an extra prayer for the single moms, extra energy, extra time, extra grace for them too. And God, I ask right now that you do something only you can do, that you take these words I've prepared, these words from your word, and that you touch every heart within earshot. And God, when we walk out of here, may we understand you better and be closer to you. It's in your name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Hey guys, I'm gonna need a little more participation than that. I mean, I appreciate it, but we're gonna try that one more time. I'm gonna give you like a B minus. And so we're going for an A plus. So pretend, bloop, back up, here we go. In Jesus' name. And everybody said,
amen.
Thank you. I know that I appear to be needy, but it is what it is. I'm not gonna lie. Now, I don't know how you celebrate Mother's Day. There's no one right way to celebrate Mother's Day. But in our family, we celebrate with food. You know, we celebrate by gathering together. But Mac found this video online, and I think this guy has a great idea for moms. Let's watch this together.
This is just a reminder that what your mom really wants for Mother's Day is to not be your mom. Just for the day, not for the whole thing. And if you have a wife, she doesn't want to be anything for that day. She just wants to be in a dark room by herself with maybe Netflix or a book, or maybe nothing, just nobody, just all. And you'll be like, "Hey, do you want breakfast in bed for Mother's Day?" And she'll be like, "No, I just, don't come in here. This is where I am today. And then tomorrow I'll come out and make sure that everybody has everything they need. But for today, lock your mom in a dark room for Mother's Day." It's what she wants, and she deserves it. I hope this helps.
Lock your mom in a dark room. That's what she wants. You know what? I think he does make a fair point. And I think some of you who are in the nitty gritty of motherhood right now, maybe with toddlers or preteens, I don't know, you're thinking, yeah, he makes a fair point there. Well, Mac and I are empty nesters. And so for Mother's Day, what we love to do, actually every celebration, is gather as many of our kids as possible together. And so we have Emily and Joe who grew up in our house, and Emily's married to Jordan. Joe's married to Abby. And then we have our two bonus daughters, Allison, who's married to Will, and Sylvie. And so when we gather together, we're a big group. And so then we also now have baby Charlotte. So Joe and Abby have baby Charlotte. So we do love gathering together. And I know many of you have big, nice lunch reservations. And so that's one way to celebrate Mother's Day. Maybe you go to brunch at a nice, you know, restaurant. You shower, you prepare, you get ready. Well, you know what we're doing today? Mac was asking, you know, what do you want? And so I'm going to be honest, we celebrate with fast food by the pool. And so he was asking yesterday, you know, do you want P. Terry's? Do you want Whataburger? Do you want Chicken Express? I said, yes, I do. And I said, you know what I want? I go, I would like for you to just make a buffet. I want a fast food buffet today. So when all of you are, you know, making sure you have lipstick on for your lunch reservation, I will be eating fast food in my own kitchen. That's right. And so then we all hang out by the pool together. But this year, guess what I'm doing? All the kids will go by the pool and I get to hold the baby. And so we do like gathering, and we like gathering with food. And again, we like gathering as many kids as possible. It's not always possible to get them all together. But, you know, celebrating, everybody does their own thing. And so for their own kind of celebration, they celebrate in their own way. And if you look at celebrating, most of us consider it a secular concept. It's something that we do as a people that, but if you really take a deep dive, and if you're reading through the Bible with us, with the Bible recap, then you have read this already. You find that celebrating is a biblical concept. Celebrating is a biblical concept, so much so that God instructed his people as he was forming them to be his people and keeping them together and giving them guidelines about how life would work best as his people. One of the things he did was he instructed regular celebrations, regular feasts and festivals. It was a big part of becoming God's people. In Exodus 13, we're going to get to a verse that's on the screen in a minute, but I'm going to read a little bit to you first to give you some background. So Moses said to the people, so they've just walked through the Red Sea, and Moses says to them, so Moses said to the people, this is a day to remember forever. The day you left Egypt, the place of your slavery. Today the Lord has brought you out by the power of his mighty hand. You must celebrate. Not we recommend you celebrate or hey, think about celebrating. Moses says, you must celebrate this event in this month each year after the Lord brings you into the promised land. For 7 days, the bread you eat must be made without yeast. On the seventh day, now listen to this. On the seventh day, you must explain to your children. So part of the celebration was pausing out of their normal routine. Another part was eating. Can I get an amen? And then the next part was you must explain to your children. I am celebrating what the Lord did for me when I left Egypt. You tell your children what they did. Verse 9 is going to be on the screen. Read the highlighted words with me. This annual festival, so you're supposed to celebrate it at the same time every year. Every year, it's an annual celebration. This annual festival will be a visible sign to you, like a mark branded on your hand or your forehead. Read it with me. Let it remind you. Let it remind you always to recite this teaching of the Lord. With a strong hand, the Lord rescued you from Egypt. Observe this festival every year. Why? Let it remind you. Let it remind you the Lord rescued you from Egypt. But why would God tell his people to celebrate this every year? Why? To put a pause in their calendar. A full week they were to celebrate this festival to remember what God had done. We are, if you're reading with us, we're in the part about David. And so I want to look at what David in the Psalms, now he lived after a generation, we're going to read as he reflects back on this very time. In Psalm 106, this is what he says. He, God, commanded the Red Sea to dry up. He led Israel across the sea as if it were a desert. So he rescued them from their enemies and redeemed them from their foes. Then the water returned and covered the enemies. Not one of them survived. Read the highlighted words in verse 12. It's going to come up. Then his people believed his promises. Then they sang his praise. They sang his praise. The Israelites were so grateful. They believed God. They knew he was their God. They gave him credit for saving them. But read verse 13. Ready? What does he say in verse 13? Yet how quickly, what? How quickly they forgot what he had done. And then in verse 21, read that again. They forgot God, their Savior, who had done great things for them in Egypt. They forgot. They praised him. Guys, this is not generations after that praised him and then forgot. These are the literal people, David is saying. The literal people who were standing on the bank of the Red Sea as the Egyptians were coming to attack them, coming to kill them. And then they saw the Red Sea part. They walked across it on dry land. And they turned, they saw the Egyptians coming, and the waters then came back and drowned and killed all of those people who were trying to attack them. These people saw it. They praised God. And then what did they do? They forgot. This is not their children that forgot what had happened to the parents. This is not the grandchildren that had forgotten what had happened to the parents. These are the very people who experienced it. And sometimes I get super judgy about the Israelites. Sometimes I read it and I'm like, are you kidding me right now? Is this a joke? They forgot? But guys, I forget. I forget. You forget. We all need reminders. Does anybody else in here live and die by the reminders on your phone? Or a lot? Now listen. The greatest invention for me with the iPhone, I love so many things about it, but I love the reminder. Deanne Wilson, who is on staff here, she and I, we love that reminder. We are always saying into our phones, hey, Siri, remind me to go pick up groceries. Hey, Siri, remind me to check on that VBS. We are always reminding. As a matter of fact, last week we were in a meeting and Deanne was sitting across from me at the table and there was something she realized she needed to check on. She picked up her phone and said, hey, Siri, remind me to check on that sign. And her phone, for some reason, didn't respond. So I immediately picked up my phone and I said, hey, Siri, remind me to remind Deanne about that reminder that she was reminding herself about. And then I thought, well, that'll make sense to her tomorrow when I remind her about that. But the alarms on our phones, the alarms, did y'all know you can label an alarm? You know why you can label an alarm? For people like me. You can label an alarm because of people like me. It's my very favorite thing about my iPhone, because I would order groceries for a pickup at 5 p.m. And I would think, oh, I need to pick up groceries at 5 p.m. So then I would set my alarm for 5 p.m. And then my alarm would go off at 5 p.m. And I would think, what was I supposed to do at 5 p.m.? Do you know now I set my alarm for 5 p.m.? It goes off at 5 p.m. and it literally tells me what to do. Go get groceries. One of the greatest inventions. Now, maybe you don't need as many reminders as I do, but we all need reminders. I don't care how good you are, you forget sometimes. And you may, like me, get judgy about the Israelites, but we all need reminders. And God instructed them, commanded them, celebrate this every year. Why do we celebrate every year? You know what we do? We celebrate to remember what God has done. We celebrate to remember and to thank God for what he has done. And then we celebrate to tell the next generation what he has done. This is a huge part of passing on our faith. This is a huge part of training up the next generation. This is a huge part of passing on our family values. We remember, we thank, and we tell. We tell the next generation. God knew, and he knows his people. He knows that life happens and that busyness distracts. And that's why he says you need to create space in your calendar to pause, to remember, to thank, and to tell. To remember what God has done, to thank him for what he has done, and to tell. This is something that we can do in our lives right now. Most of you already celebrate some annual celebrations in your family. Maybe you celebrate Mother's Day. Maybe you celebrate birthdays or anniversaries. What if we added this approach directed by Moses to the Israelite people? What if we added this to our annual celebrations? We remember, we thank, we tell. We remember, we thank, we tell. Turn to your neighbor and say, remember, thank, tell. You may want to do it with a pointy finger. Yeah. Remember, thank, tell. Okay, on a birthday. Let's say it's a child's birthday. That child's birthday, odds are you're planning a party, whatever, or a dinner, or fast food, and you're saying, okay, part of my celebration is remember, thank, tell. I'm going to remember what God has done. I don't just remember what happened. I remember that God was responsible for this. And then I thank him. I thank him. And then what is step three? Tell the next generation. Tell the child. We prayed for you. You talk about, you know, how you prayed for him. You talk about what he was like when he was little. Tell how God provided. Remember, thank, tell. What about your wedding anniversary? Your wedding anniversary, if you still have it, if you're, you know, Mac and I have been married 34 years, and I had to tell him, I think I lost our wedding video. I remember it. But, you know, we can't, if you still have yours, or if you're younger than us and it's like on a DVD or something, good for you. I kind of remember walking out and Emily was carrying ours as a purse. I think she had pulled the thing out, you know, pulled the video out. But, so, oh, I can't remember, thank, tell, or, oh, yes, I can. I can get our wedding album out and we can remember together how God provided. We can remember how we got together. We can remember our wedding. We can remember the early years of our marriage and how God intervened and how he provided for us. And then we can thank him. God, thank you so much. And then the third step, what is it? Remember, thank. Then we tell the next generation. We should make that part of every annual celebration. Remember, thank, and tell. David is one of my favorite parts of the Bible, studying David. And Mac is in a series right now called Battle Tested. And he's talking about David, the shepherd king. He was a shepherd boy that Samuel anointed and God appointed to be the second king of Israel. We know that he was a warrior king. And there are so many stories about how he won battles and how successful he was. Yes, he made mistakes, and that is also included. But he for sure is battle tested. And there's so much we can learn from studying the life of David about how to prepare ourselves and how to prepare our children for the battles that we will face. The story of David is full of so much learning, but we're going to look at, it's not in 1 and 2 Samuel or even in Chronicles, but in the Psalms. Many of the Psalms, actually 73 of the 150 Psalms are attributed to David. And he, I believe, used to prepare for battle, celebration. I believe celebration was part of his life, was part of his preparing for the life that was ahead of him. Why do I think that? Let's look at the word celebrate, the definition. The definition of celebrate is to recognize something or someone with festivities or other deviation from routine, to press pause, to do something different, to recognize something or someone. And then the second part, to express admiration of someone or something, to express admiration. So let's look at at some of the Psalms that David wrote. He said, I will praise you, Lord, with all my heart. I will tell of all the marvelous things you have done. Honor the Lord for his glory and strength. I will exalt you, Lord, for you rescued me. Praise, honor, exalt. I don't think it's a stretch if we look at our definition of celebrate that David celebrated God. He celebrated God throughout the Psalms when he praised his name, when he expressed admiration for God, when he recognized something or someone. I will celebrate you with all my heart. Celebrate the Lord for his glory and strength. I will celebrate you, Lord, for you rescued me. I also think it's interesting that David not only had Psalms of praise and celebration, but he also included his hurt, his pain, his struggle. David is a great example that we can hold both. Some of his Psalms, in the very same Psalm, he talked about his struggle. He talked about his pain. He said, people are after me. They're trying to kill me. My life is so hard. And then he would bring back, God, you are my rock. You have saved me and you will save me again. He's a great example of how we can hold on to both. And actually, how celebration, how remembering and thanking and telling armed him to handle all those difficulties many times. He's a great example of how we have to make room for both. You know, many of the Psalms that he wrote were actually meant to be songs, sung over and over and over again. for VBS, and if you don't know, VBS is Vacation Bible School, and next to Christmas, it's my very favorite thing in the whole world. VBS is a huge part of what we do at Lake Hills, and we have so many kids entering kindergarten through fifth. If you haven't registered your kid, go ahead and do so. If you have a middle schooler or high schooler, we have hundreds who come and volunteer and serve. We have adults who serve. If you haven't registered, I know you're thinking, I feel like I need to register to serve at VBS. I'm here to say, yes, you do. And some of you are thinking, kids aren't my thing. And I want to tell you, there are roles that you can play at VBS where you never interact with a child. Yes, there is something for everyone at VBS, but it is one of my very favorite things. And every year, we come up with a memory verse, and we give it to the worship team. And Roger has written a song for this year's memory verse, and it's amazing. And Jen Everswick and I have been working to come up with motions. I know y'all want me. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it right now. But we've got the motions to this song, you know, and we've heard it over and over again because we're teaching the motions to all the students who will be doing it on stage. I passed Roger in the hallway last week at the office, and I said, Roger, I can't get the song out of my mind. And he smiled, and he said, I'm so sorry. And I said, Roger, don't be sorry. This is what we want. This is exactly what we're trying to do. We are arming these kids for the battles they face. We are teaching them God's truth, God's words. We are praising Him. We're exalting Him. We're honoring Him. We are telling the next generation of what He has done with this song. We want them to walk out of here and be singing over and over in their heads with, man, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. That's what we're going to do over and over again. And by the end of VBS, we will want to pull our hair out. But that's the goal. That's the goal, that it goes into their minds and they can't leave it, and it is imprinted on their hearts. This is what we do in LHC Kids. We work on scripture memory. We sing the same songs over and over. Why? Because many are taken from scripture. We want these truths rooted in scripture imprinted on their hearts. We have fun doing it, but that is our goal. It's a huge part of what we do at LHC Kids, because songs, the songs we sang earlier, as we were singing together, we were praising together, we were celebrating God's power, God's provision. Celebrating is a huge part of worship. Psalm 103, 1 and 2, David says this, Let all that I am praise the Lord. With my whole heart, I will praise His holy name. Let all that I am praise the Lord. May I never forget the good things He does for me. We sing worship over and over again because we never want to forget, because guys, life happens and busyness distracts, and we need the reminder, not just the annual reminder. Do you know what church is? Sunday morning, whichever hour you come, it is a celebration. We are remembering, thanking, and telling the next generation. We do it annually, yes, but we do it weekly at church. And so if you consider that, then celebration is a discipline. It is a discipline in our lives, and God knows we need it. And so He says, do it regularly, and we will celebrate together. Church, weekly, remember, thank, tell. Remember, thank, tell. Weekly church, we celebrate, but it's not just a celebration, it's a recalibration. So we celebrate to recalibrate. Whatever has happened during your week that has gotten you busy, that maybe has clouded your mind, or maybe it's so heavy that it's weighing you down, and you come in here and you sing songs like, God, even though the circumstance is hard, I will praise You. I will praise Your name. I will trust You. That's what it is. It's a celebration for recalibration. So we celebrate annually, remember, thank, tell. We celebrate weekly to remember, thank, tell. I need more. I need more celebration. And I'm going to encourage you to try something this week. To try something this week. We're going to celebrate daily. We're going to celebrate daily. Our job, our responsibility, not just as moms, not just as parents, not just as, you know, grandparents, as a community, Our job is to impress these truths on the next generation. We all have an opportunity. We all have the responsibility. And it's more than annual. It's more than weekly. We're going to celebrate God every day. Those who know me know I love some psychology. I love the study of neuroscience. And I love how, you know, science is catching up to Scripture. And so maybe you've heard the term trigger. I am triggered, or that's a trigger for me. Well, the definition of trigger is something that sparks a sense of threat, danger, or harm. And so it sends you into fight or flight response. It is a trigger for you. The opposite of a trigger is a glimmer. This is a real psychological term. A glimmer, let's look at the definition. A small moment that sparks a sense of calm, joy, or hope. A small moment that sparks a sense of calm, joy, or hope. Our reflex, our tendency, actually the way we were created, is to notice the negative and to hang on to it. That doesn't mean there's something wrong with you. That doesn't mean, you know, you're just a negative person. That's how you were wired. So when we recognize that reflex and we say, my reflex is to notice the negative and to hang on to it, we were created that way so that we learn the threats and we stay away from them. But when I understand that that's my reflex, I can choose to pay attention to the positive. I can choose to pay attention to the positive and to pick it out. And so that's what a glimmer is. You're looking for, you're scanning the horizon for anything that sparks a sense of calm, joy, or hope. Now, we're going to take it to the next level. Another term in psychology, savor. Savor, this is not just about how I'm anticipating my Whataburger this afternoon. Savor is a term in psychology. Let's look at the definition here. To appreciate, enjoy, and extend a positive experience. To appreciate, enjoy, and extend a positive experience. So you know what we're going to do this week? We're going to savor the glimmer. We're going to savor the glimmer. We're going to be on the lookout for something that sparks that calm, joy, peace, whatever it is, happiness. And then we're going to linger on it. So we're going to look for and linger on God at work. We're going to look for and linger on the glimmers in our lives. We're going to look for and linger. We're going to, you know what we're going to do? These are like micro celebrations, if you will. So this is, yeah, we do the annual, we do the weekly, but now we're going to do it all throughout the day. We're going to do micro celebrations throughout the day. So instead of just remember thank tell, which is huge and should be incorporated into our holidays and into our celebrations, we are now going to recognize, thank, and tell. We are going to celebrate to recognize what God is doing. Remember, we celebrated to remember what God had done. Now we're going to recognize what God is doing. We're going to thank Him for what He is doing. And for crying out loud, we're going to tell the next generation about what He is doing. We're going to be intentional about it. My reflex is to notice the negative. But today when I wake up, I will choose to pay attention to the positive. I will choose to look for and linger on the positive. I'm going to savor the glimmers. Savor the glimmers. We can do this. Recognize. Let's go back to Psalms. Recognize. Psalm 118:24. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Again, we are not ignoring the struggles. We are not, you know, minimizing the problems, but we are choosing to praise His name in the midst of it. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Thank. Psalm 136:1. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His faithful love endures forever. His faithful love endures forever. Psalm 78:4. We will not hide these truths from our children. We will tell the next generation about the glorious deeds of the Lord, about His power and His mighty wonders. We will not hide these truths from our children. We will tell the next generations about the good, glorious deeds of the Lord, about His power and His mighty wonders. Celebrating is more than remembering the past and even thanking God for it and telling the next generation. It's even more than looking forward and celebrating every week at church. That is amazing. Even more than throughout the day, savoring the glimmers. It's about learning to seek God in everything you do, everywhere you go, and passing that on to the next generation. Jeremiah 29:13 says, "You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart." You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. It's not just about celebrating and remembering. It's about the heart. God wants your heart. He wants us to come to him and recognize he is God and we are not. He wants us to submit to him and understand his ways are higher than our ways and his way is the best way. Submitting your life to his laws and your ways to his word always work better for you. He loves you and he desires your heart. He desires your heart. That's what it's all about. It's about a relationship. And if you're here today and you've never stepped into a relationship with Jesus, stepped into a relationship with God by accepting the forgiveness that Jesus offers, we want to give you an opportunity to do that. You know, God is perfect and holy, but we are not, and our sin separates us. And he says, "I love you so much that I've provided a way. I've provided a way that you can come back to me." He sent Jesus. The Bible says, if you confess with your mouth that he is Lord and believe in your heart that Jesus rose from the dead, then you will be saved. You will be saved. I'll tell you what, that's some good news. Good enough to tell the next generation. If you have been saved by Jesus, then fit it into your day today. Fit it into your week this week to tell your kids. Tell the next generation of what he has done for you. Remember, thank, and tell. Recognize, thank, and tell. The next generation needs us to be bold. To be bold. Will you bow your heads with me? God, I thank you so much for this day. And again, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this pause in our calendar to celebrate moms, to celebrate family. God, right now I ask that you tug on the hearts of those who need to lean into you, not just for the power and the strength and the provision that parenting requires, but those who haven't yet stepped into a relationship with you, pull them close to you. Remind them how much you love them and how you sent Jesus to save them. It's in his name we pray.
I want to ask you just to remain in a spirit of prayer for a moment. If you're here today and you've never stepped into that relationship that Julie just spoke so eloquently about, we would love to give you the opportunity to make that decision right now. To not put it off, to not wait, but to respond as God is prompting you right now, just right where you are. We invite you to pray a prayer of beginning, a prayer that says, "I will follow Christ personally and definitively." If that's you, then we invite you to pray just right where you're sitting, or maybe you're watching online, something like this from your heart to God, silently just say this: "Jesus, I need you. I confess my sin to you, all of it, holding nothing back, so that I can receive and accept your grace and forgiveness, all of it, because you hold none of it back. Jesus, I will follow you from this moment forward. I know it won't be perfect, but it will be sincere. And I pray this my first prayer to you as my Lord. And I pray in your name. I want to ask you if you would just remain with your heads bowed for another moment. If that was your prayer, then this is the most significant moment of your life. And as a church, we would love to help with the moments that follow. So when we dismiss in just a moment, we have a gift that we would love to put in your hands. It's a Bible that's got a reading plan attached to it. And if you'll just stop at the Welcome Center on your way out in that lobby that's out to your right from where you're sitting right now, there'll be folks there, and just all you need to do is say, "Today was my day." They'll know exactly what you're talking about, and they have that gift for you. Also, as our heads are bowed for just another moment, if you would, I want to ask you, if that was your prayer, would you raise your hand? Just raise your hand and hold it up high over your head for just a moment as a statement physically of the commitment spiritually that you just made. The Bible says that all of heaven celebrates when one person turns for home. And so we celebrate that with heaven, with God Himself. And our family tradition around here is, as you put your hands down, we're going to put our hands together just to tell you, welcome home. Welcome home.